last time we were in Exodus, we talked about the need for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How God was giving us the recipe for the anointing oil, and how Aaron and his sons were to go through and anoint all the different fixtures and furnishings of the tabernacle to anoint them, to set them apart for God's service. And through that, we talked about the importance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon our own lives to anoint us and separate us for the things of God. This week, as we continue through the book of Exodus in chapter 31, we're going to look more closely at the need for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that comes upon us by the Holy Spirit that God gives to us is something that God does, but there is a filling of the Holy Spirit that we must have continually. And so there is a difference between an anointing and a filling of your Holy Spirit. God's anointing is for being set apart, as I said, for holy service. But God's filling is for the equipping of a specific task. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like just a new day is a specific task that I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Every single day, asking God to fill me with His Holy Spirit so that I can serve Him in the way He wants me to serve Him, so that I can do the things that He wants me to do, so that I can respond in the way that He wants me to respond. And I would imagine that's your desire as well. And I found this week, in fact, it was just yesterday, in our staff meeting, we were praying for God to use us and to let our light shine and let His light shine through us and give us those opportunities to minister. Was it too long after that prayer that the trials came, the testings come? And even in the test for me, even in the trial for me, I just had to sit back and laugh because I said, God, I know You've prepared me for this. You've equipped me for this. You've filled me with Your Holy Spirit. See, to be filled with the Spirit is to come under a more intimate influence of the Holy Spirit. I like that definition. And again, I'm going to read it. To be filled with the Spirit is to come under a more intimate influence of the Spirit. As God's presence comes into our hearts, as God's presence washes over our minds and our desires and our emotions and our feelings, so that we don't respond the way we would in the flesh. As Paul said to the church in Galatia, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not satisfy the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. And I believe the opposite is also true. If we walk in the flesh, we will not satisfy the desires of the Spirit. And so we need the Spirit. And we're going to see tonight that this filling of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God is a direct command for believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Becomes very obvious very quickly that without the filling of the Holy Spirit, we can do absolutely nothing. Apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. In chapter 30, we saw the anointing oil for the priestly ministry, okay? The anointing oil, again, was to anoint those fixtures and to actually anoint Aaron and his sons for service to God. It was a priestly ministry. But here in chapter 31, we're going to move from priestly ministry to the practical ministry. And every one of you in this room has a practical ministry. You may not be called to full-time ministry, but as Christians, you're called to a full-time occupation as a Christian serving God. And so, therefore, as we talked last time, you needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we need a constant filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're at the end of the day. It's, what, 7:30. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit today? Now, you can look at your day and see what happened, see how you responded to things, and quite quickly you can go, yes or no. Oh, when I did that, that probably was not of the Spirit, not of the Holy Spirit. It may have been of a different spirit. And those are the things that we're going to look at today as we respond in practical life, in practicality of being a Christian, being in the workplace, being in the school, being in your home, in your neighborhood, wherever you go, to be that agent for change. Eternal change, a constant filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's look real quick at Exodus chapter 31. We'll look at the first five verses first. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewelry for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. So give me your attention. The first thing we see here, when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, number one, it sets you apart to serve God. It sets you apart to serve God. So if you're taking notes, the first thing, filling of the Holy Spirit, something that God commands us to do, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, it sets us apart to serve God. And that's what we see here. As the Lord is continuing to speak to Moses, he says, listen, I have called Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And I can't miss it, and I hope you don't either, but in this chapter, we're going to see the words I have throughout this chapter. In verse 2, it says, I have called. In verse 3, I have filled. Later in verse 6, I have appointed. Again in verse 6, I have put. And again in verses 6 and 11, I have commanded. And it's very clear, very quickly, if you read through this chapter once, you'll see that it is God that is working. The filling of the Holy Spirit is only something that can come from God. That's important. It's not a matter of something that you do. It's not a matter of something that you qualify for. It's not something in a matter that you can make happen or let God force God's hand in it. No, it's something that God will do. And so there's a part for each and every one of us as Christians to make sure that our hearts are ready to be serving God and to be wanting to be used by God. That's first and foremost, to be that filling of the Spirit. Bezalel is filled with the Spirit of God in order that he might accomplish practical work. Notice what it says again in verse 2. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, verse 3. And I have filled him with the Holy Spirit in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. He had a practical job, purpose for the kingdom of God. So not only do we need the Holy Spirit to do holy things, we need the Holy Spirit to do practical things. We need the Holy Spirit to have the right attitude to get through a work day. We need the right attitude to get through our drive time. We need the Holy Spirit to change us and to use us for practical purposes. And to me, that is so absolutely important to realize. Because I think for some, we can think, oh, the Holy Spirit is only for the super holy. The Holy Spirit is only for those that God really wants to do something miraculous with. No, each and every one of us here tonight needs the filling of the Holy Spirit, probably before we leave here, to fill me, God. Because my heart isn't right. Because my thoughts aren't right. Because my attitude stinks. I need the Holy Spirit to change that. Anybody else with me? Right? God, change us. If that's truly your heart, we can't just stand on the sidelines and expect God to just orchestrate events in our lives so that it becomes easier. How many of us are, I prayed for somebody tonight whose neck is really bothering them. I mean, I'm sure it's a thorn in their flesh. Even tonight as I'm speaking, it's like they're thinking, oh, this neck is killing me. We prayed and we asked God to heal him. I hope he's healed. And maybe me bringing up brought it back up to him. Maybe he had forgotten it. I apologize. But we need the Holy Spirit even in our physical ability, right? Holy Spirit to help us forget that, because even as Paul had the thorn in his flesh, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. The presence of the Holy Spirit will allow that not to be a hindrance for you. So whatever it is that's going through your head, going through your heart, going through your mind, your soul, whatever it is, if it's under the authority of the Holy Spirit, God can change your heart. God can change your attitude. In fact, if you keep your place in Exodus, let's go to our first stop. It's Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And I'm going to try and jump around a little bit tonight because there's so many things, especially in the book of Acts, that speak about the Holy Spirit that I want us to see that. I want us to highlight those things in our Bibles so that we have them ready in our time of need. Because again, this is going to be a command for us to be filled by the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 6, look at verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, so the church is growing, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of priests were obedient to the faith. Give me your attention. The filling of the Holy Spirit was so important that it wasn't just for those that were called to the ministry to preach the word. They needed the filling of the Holy Spirit to serve tables, to serve in the church. I think this is an important aspect of our faith, that it is not just the Holy Spirit's job to make us holy. It's the Holy Spirit's job to give us the ability to serve with the right heart. And I think this is so great. Find a bunch of men who have a heart for ministry. Find a bunch of men who have the Holy Spirit so that they can take care of the issues in the church. It's so important in these last days that the church is filled with men and women that have a heart for God, but are anointed with the faith and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So important. So important. This constant filling. I love this also because the anointing is for practical ministry. It's so important that the anointing is there. It's not just necessary for, again, as we talked earlier, the priestly ministry. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit as much as you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, for some, and I don't know if anybody here tonight, but for some, they want to be set apart for God. They want to be used by God in mighty ways. They want the attention. They want the focus. But we need men and women in the body of Christ that are just willing to do the work of the ministry and not look for the attention, not look for the position, but look for the place in God's family. Each place is so very, very important. See, because finding your place in the church or finding your place in life that has meaning for you is easier than you might think. It's whatever comes, listen, it's whatever comes supernaturally natural for you. Sounds weird, right? But whatever comes supernaturally natural for you. Back in Exodus, Bezalel was probably a very, very gifted artisan. He was probably very gifted at crafting. He was probably good with his hands. And God said, I am going to take him, he has natural talent, and I'm going to fill him with the Holy Spirit. Because I don't think Bezalel was just some lump on the log that God said, well, I'll put my spirit in him and then he'll be worth something. Right? I think there's natural gifts and talents in each and every person in this room. And you take those natural gifts and talents and you put them under the authority of God and under the authority of the Holy Spirit, and wow, what happens? All kinds of fruit is produced in the lives. Say goodbye to Acts 6. We'll be back in a little bit, but go back to Exodus 31. And notice, Bezalel was called by name. Bezalel was called by name. God knew this man. God had a relationship with this man. And I want you to know that God knows your name too. God knows you personally. He's knit you together uniquely. And there may be aspects of your life that you don't like that he probably doesn't like either. But he's at work on you. But he knows you by name. And he may call you. And he may pluck you out. And he may set you aside for a purpose that he has for you and for only you. And that's what we need to be seeking after, looking for those opportunities for God. Will you use me, God? right? Who was it? Is it Isaiah? Here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Do you have a willing heart tonight? Do you feel as though God doesn't know your name? Do you feel as though God has kind of left you off on the edges or God has no use for you? No, God knows you by name. And He has a use for you. He has a purpose for you. And He's using you probably already. But think of the things He could do with you if you were willing to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Because don't miss it. Here it is. Again in verse 3. I have filled Him with the Holy Spirit in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Wow. Again, wisdom. Boy, don't we need wisdom today? God, help us to be wise. Help us to make wise choices. Help us to discern between what's right and what's wrong, not based on what I feel, not based on what I want, but help me, God, to be wise in the things that I do, the choices that I make, so that I don't have to go through the consequences of wrong choices. Oh, anoint us with the Holy Spirit so that we'll be wise. And he goes on and says, understanding. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't understand what God's doing. Anybody with me? Sometimes I don't understand why he's doing it the way he does. I think I could probably find a few shortcuts for God that would get me to where I need to be a lot sooner. But the filling of the Holy Spirit gives us understanding so that we can get to a place in our walk where some things have happened in our lives that we don't understand, but the Holy Spirit gives us that peace to say, God's in control. And you've probably heard me share this story before. It was a sweet sister down in Florida who opened her house. We were at a pastor's conference. She opened her house. It was an underground house, very unique house. She had dinner for us. It was such a wonderful time. The next year we went back to the conference. Her husband had had a stroke, and she had to care for him. And one night they were in bed, and she got woken up in the middle of the night because he had had a stroke, so she had to care for him, hurt him completely, and he had wet the bed. So she had to get him out of the bed, change his clothes, change the sheets, put him back in bed. And the whole time she's putting him back in the bed, she's holding back the tears. She does not want her husband to see how much pain she is going through because she doesn't understand. Why? We've served the God. We've served you in the church. We've been faithful in the church. This man loves you with all of his heart. Why is this going on? So she gets him in bed. She goes into the other room and she just cries out. She says, God, I don't understand. And in that second, she heard the voice of God say, I didn't ask you to understand what I'm doing. I asked you to trust what I'm doing. And that has stuck with me all these years. I mean, that has to be 15 years ago. Because even though we see here that with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to understand, I think, in some senses what God's doing, but many times I think we have to just trust we aren't going to understand. We aren't going to understand. Why do children get hurt? Why do children die? Why did Pastor Chuck have to get cancer? All of these things. Do we understand? No. But you know what we do understand? With the gift of the filling of the Holy Spirit, we understand God's good, God's sovereign, and He's in control. And we live in a fallen world. And sometimes I think that's enough for us to understand. But he goes on. Knowledge, that we would know, not only be wise, but know how to respond, having the knowledge of knowing what to do, when to do it. Knowledge to give to someone else, to share a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge spoken from God. So we see this knowledge. And then all manner of workmanship. He gives him the ability to do what God's called them to do. But notice all of these things, all of these anointings, all of these gifts are for the use of God. You see that in verses 4 and 5. All for the use of God. What does the filling of the Spirit of God give you? They're listed right there again. Highlight them in your Bible. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I might have wisdom today, so that I might understand things better today. Did you have a tough day today? Did nothing go right for you today? Maybe tomorrow is going to be that day where God, everything's going to go right for you because the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And ask for that knowledge. God, give me knowledge of you. And that's what I see, such a powerful thing that God has given to us is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit that gives us insight in the things that we're dealing with. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Highlighter's handy. We'll go to Ephesians 1, verse 15. Paul writes here to the church of Ephesus, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And this is his prayer in verse 17. This is Paul's prayer to the church of Ephesus, "that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." Again, back to verse 17. That's the one I want you to highlight. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." And then at verse 18, "and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Those very same words that we're reading in Exodus as God was filling Bezalel with the Holy Spirit, we see here Paul praying that for the church of Ephesus, that he would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is just such a powerful verse. I don't know if you can fully understand it and comprehend it. I mean, even the things that Paul is saying is just amazing. They're so deep. Because this is what we need, do we not? Do we not need that for each other? And my question to us is, are we only looking for those things for ourselves? God bless you. Or are we looking for those things for each other? If you're a wife, pray this over your husband. If you're a husband, pray this, God bless you, over your wife. If you have children, pray this. Pray this over your children, that they'd have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, not to be smart, right? What does it say? Revelation in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of him. Because isn't that what we really need? We need to know more about Jesus. We need to know Jesus more intimately and more personally. And I think when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us, we will understand him more. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. These are the fruit that we need in our lives. This is the fruit of the Spirit that we need in our lives. And that's what Paul was desiring for this church. Let's pray that for one another. Let's do that for each other. Let's pray that God would do this. There's no doubt Paul was probably praying that for himself in his time of prayer. God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Nothing wrong with that. But if we're going to have a heart for others, let's pray that for each other. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go over to Acts now again. Acts chapter 2. I want you real quickly, this is where I want you to highlight, because we see it throughout the book of Acts. We're not going to look at every single instance, but I think these are some important ones. Certainly in the beginning of the church, Acts 2, verse 4, and we looked at this before when we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Acts 2 and 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay? Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said, "Go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And here we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit as it comes upon them, filling them with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. They're speaking in tongues, different tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. They're speaking different languages. And the hearers around them were hearing the glories of God as they were speaking them. Do you see the gifts that the Holy Spirit will give to you? And we certainly see that in the church. People want to have the gift of tongues, right? What is that? That's some people think that if you have the gift of tongues, then you're saved. There's no doubt about it. My Bible says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's the Spirit. This is something that the Spirit will do upon you. You've heard me say it. I want the gift of Spanish. So when I go to Peru and when I go to Mexico, I don't want to look like an idiot in front of the Spanish people. Because I want to say hi to them. I want to tell them that Jesus loves them. Dios te bendiga? No? No. Dios te bendiga. Is that right? God bless you. What is it? God bless you, right? Yeah. And nobody sneezed. God bless you. But I just want that gift. And we laugh and we do. But wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? And the time the Holy Spirit would fill us, at that moment we could speak in another tongue that we don't even know what we're saying, and we bless someone. That's the ability that we have if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think it not only has to be a foreign tongue, but I think it can be the right word at the right time for someone that needs to hear it. Right? So God, fill us with the Holy Spirit that we might speak what needs to be spoken. There's times when I'm sitting across the desk with someone who's telling me with things that they're going through and the struggles they're going through, and my mind's just blank. I'm going, God, I need an answer. I don't know what to tell this person. They've gone through such a tragedy. My heart's breaking from what, God? It's got to come from Him. It can't come from me. And in that moment, God gives it, and I speak, and it's like, wow, I'm standing back going, wow, this is good. I should record this. But God gives us the words to speak. It's not me. It's not us. It's not. Certainly studying and praying and preparing is important, but nothing is better than the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit using us. And that's what we're seeing here in the book of Acts. It's the Holy Spirit filling us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now just go another chapter, chapter 4 and verse 8. We all know Peter, right? How he was. Well, we see Peter, a different Peter in the book of Acts. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" That sounds like a totally different Peter, doesn't it? Not the bumbling, you know what, that he used to be. With the Holy Spirit, at that moment, as Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit filled him with the words and the eloquency to speak it in a powerful way. We see it again here. Same chapter, verse 31. Hope you're highlighting these. Verse 31. Actually, look at verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Just like we saw in verse 8 there with Peter, boldness. Peter had boldness. And here we see that they prayed and asked that God would give them that boldness, that they would be able to speak the truth, and boldness comes. Are you one of those people that says, well, I just get intimidated when someone asks me a question about God? I get intimidated if someone asks me a question about the Bible. I just don't know enough. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit knows the Bible backwards and forwards. And if we ask for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, He'll give us the words to say. They were bold, and they asked for it. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. The filling of the Holy Spirit brings forth boldness to speak truth. To speak truth, and in a powerful way. And last one, Acts 9, verse 17. Chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias, this is Paul's Damascus Road experience, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, which is Paul, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me, that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Again, the power of the Holy Spirit. I wanted you to see these. I wanted you to experience these so that you can hide these verses in your heart. That in your time of need, you can ask God, I need the Holy Spirit. Before you go into an appointment, before you sit down with a friend, before you do anything, God, give me the Holy Spirit. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. So that I can do these things that you've called me to do, so I can be bold, so that I can speak truth, so that I can have my eyes opened. The scales of his eyes, the scales of our hearts, that they be open to the truth. That's what's important here. As we go back to Exodus, we're moving through this. Bezalel was filled with the Holy Spirit for a job, for a purpose, and that filling was to just for them to work and to create the things that Moses had seen and the tabernacle, right? All of this time we've been studying through Exodus, God is just telling Moses how he wants things done. Nobody's building it yet. Now Moses has to come back, and then the artisans have to build it. They have to create it. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit was necessary to do the work of the ministry. If your life feels a little bit powerless, it's because you need more of the Holy Spirit. We talked about it last time too. Just to accomplish your job every single day, you need the strength of the Holy Spirit. And I have some of you are sitting here going, boy, it better be the Holy Spirit. I have a hard time getting through a day without it. We need it. We need it. Look at verse 6. And I, here it is again, and I, indeed I, have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamech, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstands with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron and the priests, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. So, not only was Bezalel to oversee the job, to make sure all these things were created properly, he had helpers. But they too needed wisdom. They too needed to have their place and their anointing from God. And I see this so importantly. Aholiab, his name has meaning. His name means tent of the Father. Tent of the Father. And it describes someone who lives closely with God. And I think it's very important that we notice that not only does God tell us who the number one man is, but he also tells us that he has helpers. And he names them. Every place in God's house is important, my friends. Every place is important. Not only is it important that there's a leader, but God has established roles in his house. And each specific position is important. And I'm thankful in this church for the people that serve so faithfully, so committedly to the things of this ministry. Because I can't do it all. I can't be everywhere. And it's a blessing to see that there's people here that have a heart for God. And we must keep that heart of we're doing these things for the Lord. We're serving in this way for God. That's why that's the only way we will not grow weary while doing good. That's the only way we will not get burnout if we keep our focus upon God. Once we begin to lower who we're serving, if we begin to believe that we're serving people or serving man, we're going to lose heart. We're going to lose strength. We're going to focus on serving God. It's equally important to God, every single person in his house, in the place that you serve. But notice in verse 11, and we'll real quickly at the end of this, it says, according to all that I have commanded you, Moses, they shall do. They shall do. In fact, if you want to take notes, Exodus 39, we'll get there. Verses 42 and 43 says that all the artisans created all the elements of the tabernacle, and Moses stood back and took a look and said, yep, it looks exactly how God showed me. Moses approved it. So it shows us that As God says here, as I've commanded you, they shall do. It will happen in the future. We see that fulfillment not too many chapters from now. Guys, it's important that we do the things that God has equipped us to do, that we follow through, that we stay committed. Is it always going to be easy? No. In fact, there's many times it's going to be so hard, you're going to want to quit. In fact, I just sat in my office talking with someone who was discouraged in ministry. Things hadn't been going right. There's some things just one after another going on in their lives. It's just been negative, negative, negative. And they've only been doing ministry for a short period of time. And certainly my heart breaks, but I look across the table and I say, that's the way it's going to be. That's how the enemy's going to try and take you out. He's going to discourage you. But don't get discouraged, because I believe all those difficult things that happen in my life, your life, this person's life, are there to equip us to be stronger, to get through. Again, rise above the circumstances, fix our eyes upon God. Because we have to expect the enemy's not going to like it when we start taking some souls out of hell. When we start rescuing people from the path of destruction and putting them on the path of righteousness. There's no doubt in my mind that even those three kids on Sunday that got saved are under probably a lot of doubt, a lot of persecution. So it's our job as a church to come alongside them and encourage them in their faith. New believers are precious, but the enemy's going to want to take them out. So the filling of the Holy Spirit, this section, helps us to set us apart to serve God. And no matter where that is, guys, I don't know where it is that you've been called to serve God, but serve there faithfully. Even if it's the lowliest of positions in your mind, it's important to God. I knew a gentleman that loved to sweep the parking lot of his church, and he did it for many years. He was faithful. He wasn't looking like, I'm going to sweep this parking lot this week so that I can be an usher next week. That wasn't his heart. Do what God's got you to do, what he's supernaturally gifted you naturally. Do that with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And do that till Jesus takes you home or moves you. That's the way. Because I believe that this is another aspect of the enemy's tools, is to move us up in ministry, getting bigger, you know, getting promoted in ministry to the point where all of a sudden we're beyond our abilities. And that's where we really get taken out. Or just stay faithful in what you're doing and move as God moves you. That's the way to stay. Let's finish this chapter, verse 12. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, look at this, and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on the mount, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. And we might ask ourselves, why does God put the Sabbath day here in this position? Why does he place it here? He's already talked about it. He's already made it important. It's already been one of the commandments. Why has he put it in at this place? And I think, along with some others, it's because God knows people. He's going to give the people of Israel a job to do, and they're going to be excited to serve God, to create these things. But God wants to remind them, make sure you rest. Make sure you take that time to worship me. Make sure you take that time to stop what you're doing, to not work any longer. In fact, he pretty much reiterates time. If you do any work on the seventh day, death. Death. The Sabbath certainly was for the children of Israel. It was a reminder for these men to put God first, because he said it. For us today, it's important for us to spend time worshiping God. The day doesn't matter for us, as long as we take the time to worship the Lord. As long as we take certainly time to rest. We talked about it on Sunday. Not many of us do much of it. But when we rest, we need to be thinking about God. Because I believe when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit, our mind goes to the things of God more frequently than it goes to the things of ourselves. Right? So let's make sure that we take time to worship God. And that's what you're doing here tonight. You're taking that time out of your busy schedule. I know for many of people, as we're worshiping, we're getting coffee. Why? Because we're tired. But I want to ask us all, are we more filled with coffee or are we more filled with the Holy Spirit? It's okay to be filled with both, but let's make sure we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's make sure we take time, and that's what the second thing was, to set you apart to worship God. Filling with the Holy Spirit sets us apart to worship God. Nobody can worship God apart from the Spirit, right? Spirit, need the Spirit to worship God. And so that's what we see here. And then God at the end gives Moses the Ten Commandments on two tablets, and we know what chapter's coming next, unfortunately. But how cool is it there? It says that he wrote it with the finger of God. Just take time to think about that. God wrote it with his own hand, right? God wrote it with his own hand. Do you know he's writing your life with his own hand as well? Is your life being written by the finger of God? Let's pray that that's the truth. And let's ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.